Good morning. I want to first of all, state that Taylor Hughes made this look a whole lot better than Greg, by the way. And in fact, tell Taylor I'm giving serious consideration to the matching headband look. Yeah, very impressive. And it's my first opportunity, therefore, to thank Jeannie Leary and Megan Hall and all the UMYF who did such a beautiful dinner theater, the second annual this year. Wasn't that fantastic, folks? Wasn't that just wonderful? I really wanted to just tell you how much I appreciated them. It was really, really wonderful. Also, thanks goes out to Dave Thomas, who did a wonderful job last Sunday here in the pulpit. And I want to lift up that in addition to the accolades that certainly he deserves in his service and his discipleship, I want you to know that he turned in his honorarium back into the offering plate for the general fund of this church. How about that? Isn't that something? Dave Thomas. So many thanks to Dave Thomas. And also here we've got a thanks from Shauna Putman, Conville United Methodist. Thank you so much for your faithful giving. Your loyalty helps keep the Loaves of Love program alive. You are all very appreciated. God bless Shauna Putman, Loaves of Love coordinator. And the thanks continues. Hang on just a second here. And I was looking for my glasses. I misplaced my glasses, honey. But I think I can, I'm fine. I can read this, no problem. Pastor Lay, put her out there. Put a tape on there and put her out. Yeah, hold it for me, Bob. Pastor Lay, I just wanted to let you know what a wonderful job the Conville United Methodist women did at their ladies' night out on April the 12th. The whole event was so well organized, from the decorations to the absolutely divine food, and she underscores the word divine. She said, I was there as a vendor, but spent a lot of my time just catching up with all the ladies who had come. The women from your church need to be congratulated on the positive public relations that they did for your church. Well done. Sincerely, Terry Place. How about that, folks? And I think another, yeah, thank you, Aston. I think another cheer is certainly in order. Now then, are there parish notices to come before us before we center ourselves for the worship service? Yes, sir, Dick.
I'd like to gather with the greeters that have agreed to be greeters in the back of the sanctuary after church for just a few minutes, just to kind of analyze where we're at and where we're going.
Excellent. Thank you, Dick. Any other parish notices to come before us this morning? No adult choir this Wednesday night? Well, I want to thank, again, Dave Bowen, who presided over the worship service last Sunday in our absence, and I want to thank you for supporting the spring break, and it was the first time I got to really see the city of Chicago with my son and my daughter-in-law, who have been there for a year and a half. I told Don it's been a year and a half. We finally got up there thanks to your support. At this time, let us center our hearts now for morning worship. Let us pray. O great shepherd, walk with us in this time of worship as you walk with us all the days of our lives. As we sing your praises and worship your holy name, speak to us with your wisdom. Call to us. Lead us home. Open our eyes and lighten our minds that we might hear your word and grow in our faith. In the name of the Good Shepherd, Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Walk with me, Christ calls.
We know and follow this call.
Live with me, Christ offers.
We rejoice in this promise of life.
Come, let us worship with Easter joy. And that opening hymn, the number is 381, 381. You know it well. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. take this opportunity to welcome your neighbors through the passing of the peace. This time we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. I want to thank one of my heroes here. Wilmer Bowers gave me this shepherd's staff to use whenever it was in a time for this symbol in the church. And this is the time. We have a couple scripture readings today which compare God to a shepherd. And, of course, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. But I want to tell you about the shepherds in the time of Jesus. The shepherds in the time of Jesus worked hard to take care of their sheep. In fact, they always carried with them three weapons. Now, the first weapon was a club. It kind of looked like a small baseball bat, or maybe a big baseball bat. Who knows, bred on the occasion, because I mean, they'd have lions from time to time. But they would use that club, and they would use it to defend the sheep if there was an animal or if there was somebody who was trying to steal the sheep. Then, as Wilmer gave to the church here, we have the shepherd's staff. And you'll see how distinctive this is, this hook here, this pertains certainly to the shepherds of Jesus' area, and that of King David. King David, when he was just a boy, he was a shepherd. So he knew all about it. That's why he looked back on his life and gave us the beautiful 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So if a lamb was getting lost, and I even had a painting at the West Liberty United Methodist Church. Actually, it was a print. It was a print, in all fairness. But this print was a famous painting in which the shepherd is reaching down with this hook here, and they were lifting gently a little lamb that had slipped down on one of the lower terraces of a cliff and was about to fall. So the shepherd reached down, got under its little legs, and lifted it right back up to protect it. How about that? Isn't that great? Then talk about King David. The last weapon that a shepherd would carry was a slingshot. Now, I made one of those. Let me talk to the baby boomers here. Did any of you ever make one of those biblical slingshots? Anybody here ever do that? Hey, show me some hands. I want to see if anybody ever tried that. Guys, you ever do that one? Were you any good at it, Bob? Bob and Bob, were you any good? I never was any good at it. But I witnessed somebody that really worked with that. And I mean, they could hit the bullseye. It was amazing. So that slingshot, shepherds like King David would carry. And they used it only if there was an animal or someone who was actually trying to kill the sheep. So they would hurl that rock at them. Now, as I said, God is compared to being like a shepherd. God doesn't use any of these weapons that we talked about. In fact, often it is that the Lord works in ways that we human beings can't even fully understand. But the Lord is constantly watching over you. His love will never leave you. Just as a good shepherd cares for the sheep, so it is that Jesus cares for us. In fact, here's the greatest symbol of all of the good shepherd, and that is the cross. It was on the cross that the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Let us turn to the Lord and let us thank him for this wonderful love. Let's make a circle. We are his sheep. Yes, we are. And now, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you love us like a good shepherd, that you care for us, that you will walk beside us throughout the journey, that you will protect us, O Lord. Our souls, our spirits are forever in your hands, in the best of hands. Thank you, good shepherd. And help us to share this hopeful news with other boys and girls. In the name of the good shepherd, Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, where's Dick? I get my strong man over here, the Iron Man. Dick, see if you can open that for me. I'm going to try to open one, but I get embarrassed every time hey, I got that one. Somebody must have cut this one, though, Dick. I think somebody, Bob, Roger, did you already start it for me? Okay. Hey, thank you, Coach. I couldn't get, well, here, let me, hang on to that for me. Hang on to it, Dick. Now, one time I did it, and I'll tell you what happened. I had stuff all over the carpet. Steve, we did okay. All right, now, I tell you what, I'm just going to, I don't know how many we've got here. This is a special gift to you. It's a dum-dum with a jelly bean center. Would anyone like that? Oh yeah. When I'm gonna start. Listen, let's do something fair. Let's give you one first. Okay, I want you all to receive the gift. If there's enough to repeat the cycle, then we'll go back. Okay, but I want to thank whoever gave these. What a wonderful gift to the children, and I think it's gonna go around only once today, children. Is that
one you like? You think it's a good one? What's it look like?
Oh, they bought. Well, and I'm sure the jelly bean's going to be good. You got green? Did you get green, sweetheart? Oh, look up. I don't want to miss them. All righty. There you go, buddy. There you go. And yes, today I think it's just going to be one. All righty. And so everybody got one? All right. Well, children, you may return to your pews. God bless you, children. And let me put the symbol of the worship service back here. And again, Wilmer, thank you so much. I think I'm going to rest this on the Bible. Not bad, huh? Resting on the Bible, not bad at all. All right, now here we go. We got Mahaley, and we've got Big Sister Dreema. And is Braden still with us? Did he go up there? Well, whenever he wants to help, we will have him too. But if you're a visitor, we want to welcome you. And also, we invite you to take a moment. There's a visitor's card. If you want to fill that out when the ushers come by here in a little bit with the offering plate, just drop that visitor's card into the plate. They always get those to me, Gail. And I will get a call out to you, okay? And we'll get you better acquainted here. Now, by getting better acquainted right now, the joys are concerns. You see, we got great workers right here, okay? Haley's got the microphone. If you have a joy or a concern, a joy, for example, birthday, wedding anniversary, perhaps a testimony of how the Good Shepherd is giving you guidance and support and strength right now in your journey, and you want to lift that up, just raise your hand. If there's a concern, maybe there's somebody you love who's sick, and you want to lift them up in prayer, raise your hand. Joys or concerns, keep them up, though, so that Mahaley and Dreema can see your hand. They'll bring you the microphone. Joys or concerns, just keep them up high for them. I see some hands back here. See, now they got the ability and the energy to do that. They walked me all over Chicago. I got shin splints. You know, there are 3 flights of stairs for the Chicago, the CTA, the train. I'll never forget that. Did somebody have their hand up there? Okay, all right. Oh, very good. Very good.
I guess.
Yes, sir. Isn't that great, though, Tim? Isn't that great?
She saw me first. I've got a concern.
Yes, sir.
My nephew, he is in the Air Force. He's been in there for 3 years, graduated from Crestview. And he is going to be TDY to Afghanistan soon. So keep him and his wife in your prayers.
Amen, Tim. Amen. Thank you, brother, for lifting him up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And keep us informed too, Tim. But lift him up in prayer. Very good. Very good. Did my girls have any others up there? Were there any others? Are they? I admire that. Again, you know, to have that stamina. Wonderful. Ah, you did well, Mahaley. Thank you, Dreama. Thank you. And I see you got brother back with you. Good. Any other joys or concerns? Once again, just keep your hands up. I do see some back. Oh, yes, go right ahead. Yeah, Nikki.
I have a friend that went to the hospital Friday. He's had back trouble for quite a bit, and they have been trying to put off surgery. Mm-hmm. But Friday, he literally crawled to his car after work and some of the friends from work helped him in his car, and then they went straight to the hospital as soon as he got home.
Oh, Nikki.
They took him straight to Ohio State University, and he's just waiting to find out how soon they can do his back surgery. But he's only 43, so
43.
And it's been 10 years that they've been putting this off.
Crawled to the car. Thank the Lord someone saw him. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Nikki. And I see, yes, there.
It's with my grandma, Naina's birthday.
Birthday, MG. Hey, there you go. There you go. Lori, is it for you? Was it you, buddy? Are you the birthday? Oh, is it Naina? Naina, God bless you and happy birthday. You got your present already, didn't you? any other joys or concerns? Well, what do you think of this tremendous team here, Mahaley and Dreema and Brandon? Thank you, children. Thank you. God bless you, kids. God bless you. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Shepherding God, guide us on this journey of life. Lead us on the paths that lie before us. Strengthen us in times of fear. Comfort us in seasons of sorrow. Renew us in moments of exhaustion, that we may lie down to rest in peace. Surely your goodness and grace are flowing through our lives even now, and we rejoice that you dwell with us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And therefore, in gratitude and joy, we pray the prayer that the Good Shepherd himself has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, before we join together, by the way, in this hymn of preparation, I am remiss, and I promised her that I would make sure that we lifted her name up for the, as Wurtenberger always says, the prayer warriors. And I thank Vicki for giving me the heads up on this, by the way. But Rosanna Etkin has been in the hospital pretty much all week, and will be now residing at the Convoy Care Center. Should be there, Bob, even as we speak. She was supposed to go there last night, but we definitely want to remember her. At this time, we'll stand together for this hymn of preparation, and this is a very timely one. 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Thank you.
Be seated. Wilmer, you gave me that shepherd's staff. I told your son. You gave me that on the occasions in which, as we just shared with the children, that it would be appropriate as a symbol for the hour of worship. Here we go, Wilmer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you, Keith, and thank you, Linda. Thank you, choir. And I just stand amazed, Keith, at how many times, and this has been going on for 38 years, how many times that we congregate together for worship and it all just falls in place. The imagery there, the poetry, the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the Shepherd. Christ is the Shepherd, but the Shepherd also for us laid down his life as the Paschal Lamb. Well, it's just rich to be here, Keith. Thank you, and thank you, choir. There is a shepherd story here. There was a couple, retired couple. They retired out in Arizona. I know Laura and I are searching right now with the help of my good buddy here, great realtor, Dick Miller. And I know Dick with Gary. I know he doesn't want me to slide any of the other great realtors here in Arizona. Yes, sir, we got them here. But I'll tell you, they're worth their weight in gold when you're looking for your home to retire in. And we're trying to do this, make this transition. I'm not retiring. You're still going to have to put up with me. But I do want to try to do this for Laura's sake and get this transition done. Dick's been a great help. But this couple retired out in Arizona, and they took up raising sheep. And as a matter of fact, springtime came with the birth of the lambs, and there were two little lambs that these little infants were so weak that they had to actually take both of them into the house, Gail, to raise them, Karen. They had to bottle feed them, you know. And I've heard of that. I've had a lot of shepherds. I know Rick's a shepherd that's raised sheep, and I've heard this many times, you know, where you bottle feed them for a while. Well, these two little lambs became so attached to the rancher's wife, they literally, Esten, they followed her everywhere she went. And she told a girlfriend about this, you know. And she said, you know, they're like my own children. They follow me everywhere I go. And so, like my own children, I gave them names. And her girlfriend said, what name did you give to the little lambs that follow you everywhere you go? She said, I've named them Goodness and Mercy. Now, see, you good church people, you get that, Bob. You get that, Vicky. Yeah, but you're going to have to explain that to the culture. That she is, of course, referring. There you go, Keith. She's referring to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And surely at the close, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, that's King David. His walk with God, Yahweh, was such that he compared that relationship to that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. And David would know about that. He put his life on the line many times to care for his sheep. But greater love still, he's giving a witness, greater love still comes from God, our shepherd. That witness, of course, continues into the New Testament. It comes to its full flower, John, through Jesus the Christ, the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. On this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, another scripture reading that we are asked to lift up, and I'm going to do it proudly. This one comes from John, the 10th chapter, verses 22 through 30, the words of the Good Shepherd himself. At that time, the festival of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple and the portico of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. But Jesus answered, I have told you. And yet you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. For what my Father has given me is greater than all else. No one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. And the Father and I are one. What a comfort. that we, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. When we see the works of Jesus, we see the works of God. God is then, as David has borne witness, God is the good shepherd who loves us with a love that will never, ever let us go. There's an amazing story that has just come to the church recently through the Wycliffe Bible translators. And it's concerning a tribal people in the Cameroon known as the Hadai, H-D-I. Lee Bramlett, one of the Wycliffe Bible translators, along with the help of the Hadai people, has determined that every verb in the Hadai vocabulary consistently, every verb consistently ends with one of three vowels, an I, an A, or a U. And more interestingly, he discovered that it's that vowel at the end of the word that actually determines the meaning of the verb. Now, this is consistent, as he said, with every verb in the Hadai vocabulary with the exception of one. The word love. The word love, the verb to love in Hadai has only either an I ending or an A ending, but never will you find a U ending in the vocabulary. And that word is divi, D-V-I, ending with an I, diva, D-V-A, but you will never find it in the vocabulary anywhere. Devu. Well, this puzzled this great scholar, this great Bible translator, and to try to get a better handle on it, he worked with the Hadai elders. And he began, as Socrates, the Socratic method, which many of my professors, Modesco, they sure did, ask questions. So he would ask them questions to try to get a better handle on this glaring discrepancy. He said, let me ask you then, could you divi, D-V-I, your wife? And they said, oh yes. Now, this love means that the wife had been loved, but now the love was now gone. He says, could you diva your wife, D-V-A? And they said, yes, this is the type of love that depends upon the wife's actions. That is to say, the wife will be loved so long as she remains faithful and cares for her husband. And then finally, Don, he asked the question that was really nagging him. He said, but let me ask you, can you divu your wife, D-V-U? Everybody laughed, he said. Oh, man, they laughed. And then finally they insisted, oh, no, of course not. Of course not. If you say this, then you are saying that you're going to keep on loving your wife no matter what she does, even if she never brings you water, even if she never makes you a meal, even if she commits adultery, you would be compelled to keep on loving your wife. No, we never say davu, for no such love exists. And Lee Bramlett began to think, not just of translations, but he began to think of his walk with Christ. And he took to heart the gospel of John 3:16, that our children all know it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And old Lee Bramlett looked at him and he asked the elders, could God divu people? Total silence. It was total silence. Three, four minutes of total silence. And then an amazing thing occurred. Tears began to trickle down the weathered faces of the elders. Finally, they responded. Do you know what this would mean? They asked. This would mean that God would keep loving us over and over, millennia after millennia, while all along we were rejecting his great love. This would mean that God would be compelled to love us even if we were the worst of sinners. Today, the Wycliffe Bible translation of the Hadai people now contains a word that never before existed. It is a word applied to God alone. It is the word of love for God. Devout. The love of the Lord is an unconditional love, a prevenient grace, as Wesley witnessed. Comes before we ever deserve it, and more remarkably, it comes in spite of our undeservedness, as the late Bogie Dunn called it, foolish love. This Bogie would point to the cross, children, and he would say, this is utter foolishness. Foolish. It's the Hadai people who say amen to that. But the Hadai people now are celebrating this unconditional love of God. Where would we be without it? You may reach the limits of the calculating love of this world. But praise God, we will never be without the hope of the endless love of the Savior, the Good Shepherd. I was in Chicago, and Matt says, Dad, what do you want to do? He said, Dad, how about, he knows me so well, Randy. He says, Papa, how about I book for you a film bus tour of the city of Chicago? I said, son, you hit the nail on the head. And we got that, Dick. We got that from my dad. I think during the Great Depression, you know, films were big during the Great Depression, and they just kept cranking them out, Don. They were an opportunity for, well, in essence, escapism. And you wanted to try to get away from all your troubles for a little while. And so Pop became a film buff, and honestly, he passed that on to us. Now, the tour began, as it just so happened, we were to go to the bus stop right on the curb of the largest McDonald's in the world. I did not know it was going to be a pilgrimage to Mecca. So at any rate, special occasion, I took her inside, Steve. Took her inside. And, of course, I'd already fed her breakfast prior to that, so I could take her inside, guys. But we saw all the museum pieces. Yes, that's right, Fritzy. I'm not frugal. She says I'm cheap. But I got me a senior coffee. And then I boarded the bus, and the tour guide was Patrick McDonald. Who was a film critic for Chicago, I think for the Chicago Tribune, and yes, if that sounds familiar, he was a dear friend to Roger Ebert. And he was in mourning, and of course I remember Roger, Siskel and Ebert, watched all their shows, and Patrick was in mourning for the loss of his dear friend. And now listen to this, Patrick, by the way, gave a subtle, discreet witness. He said of his dear friend, he says, you know, I did find it interesting that Roger, a self-avowed agnostic, nevertheless had requested that when he died, they have a full Roman Catholic funeral. He grinned and he winked. I think there was a bit of a witness there. Fritzy, kind of reminded me of a joke you just gave me. Now, every morning there was a woman who would stand out on her porch and she would greet the new day, Keith, and she would look heavenward and she would say, praise the Lord. Every morning, from the porch next door to her, the atheist would yell out, there is no Lord. Well, one morning, the poor soul comes out on her porch, doesn't she, Fritzy, and she hides. She was going through some dire straits, and she got on her knees, and she says, oh, Lord, I'm hungry. Please send me some groceries. The next morning, lo and behold, Karen, there was a sack of groceries on the steps, and now again, renewed, she looks heavenward and says, praise the Lord. And at that exact moment, the atheist pops out from behind the front bush of her house and says, aha, I told you there's no Lord. I'm the one that overheard it, and I got you the groceries. She looked heavenward. She says, praise the Lord. You not only sent the groceries, you made the devil pay for them. Please don't leave here saying that Greg just mentioned that Roger Ebert was an atheist. He was not. He struggled as an agnostic. But as his good, close friend Patrick said, isn't it interesting that he requested, after his death, a full Roman Catholic funeral? Well, it was a wonderful tour, and the next day, then on Sunday, I wanted to take the family to, well, of course, the First United Methodist Church of Chicago. And I got all confused. I'm getting old, Dave. I There was a time change, and I messed it all up. We ended up late for the actual worship service, but the pastor, the senior pastor, was still there. And by now, actually, there were like tour groups coming through, John. But it was interesting because he was sharing about the social gospel. He was sharing how that actions speak louder than words, and lo and behold, what's the lectionary for today? That what does the Lord himself say? The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. And I thought about this wonderful church and your work with the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. And while we're there, overhearing this senior pastor with a small group of his flock, homeless people stream in and out the door. And of course, I told Bob Rice, man, it's so cold up there, Bob. And Bob says, don't go up in the wintertime, Greg. Because, I mean, old Baldy here, it was cold enough for me that day. But the homeless find shelter there. They come in and out of the doors of the First United Methodist Church. Marianne, I thought that Cary, a Roman Catholic church in Cary, was perhaps the most beautiful, ethereal sanctuary that's ever blessed my life. Kenny and Marcy and I, you know, the kids. Dave was my old buddy. So I got to go to the beautiful Cary Cathedral many, many times at the gorgeous church there in Cary, Ohio. If you're ever in that area, you've got to work it out so that you can go there and see the splendid stained glass display. But I got to tell you, Marianne, I think the First United Methodist Church of Chicago is right up there with Cary. And it was an ethereal splendor. And while I'm there, though, and the homeless are streaming in and out, that's when it happened. One of these homeless people needed to find the restroom, and he didn't find it in time. Now, here's this ethereal splendor, and then, my goodness, the ambiance changed radically, say no more. And the crew went to work, John, for this poor old homeless man. They went to work and they tried to clean him up. They tried to clean up the narthex, and they were spraying, one of the hostesses was spraying the air freshener. And when it came time for us to leave, I said to my son Matthew, I said, "Now, Matthew, do you know what you experienced in this atmosphere today? You know what you experienced in this sanctuary today? This is humanity. This is what we are. And for us, Jesus entered the world, the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd for us, and He will always care for us." In closing, in 1850, on the prairies of the Midwest, light snow was still falling in March. And there was a little log cabin on the prairie with a little boy named Timmy who was on the verge of death due to diphtheria. And a Methodist circuit rider came by to visit with little Timmy. He heard the boy wasn't doing very well, and he wanted to call. And sure enough, he came into the room, and he found little Timmy sick in bed. Well, the circuit riding preacher asked the little boy, he said, "Do you know how to say the 23rd Psalm?" And little Timmy replied, yes, he had learned it in the second grade, in Sunday school. And he started reciting, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the good-hearted preacher said, "You're saying it much too quickly. Let me teach you a way, son, a new way, a different way, just for you to say the 23rd Psalm." He invited little Timmy to count the words off on his fingers, beginning with his thumb, "The Lord is my." Now this way, when he uttered the word "my," he was holding the fourth finger. And the preacher then explained, "Timmy, your parents wear their wedding bands on the fourth finger of the hand. This is known as the finger of love and commitment." Now, in this way, when Timmy would recite, "The Lord is my shepherd," when he would be holding the fourth hand, it was a reminder, said the preacher, a reminder that the Lord is a personal shepherd, my shepherd. And he would always care for him. And his love would never let him go. And this dying child found comfort in that. And so in this fashion, he recited the 23rd Psalm. When he finished, the old circuit rider bid him farewell, and he went on his way. When the preacher returned to visit Timmy, it was in the springtime. And as he approached the house, he saw a mound of upturned earth with a little cross upon it in the backyard. The pastor realized that Timmy had passed away. His parents visited with the preacher. They told of what a wonderful boy Timmy had been. They spoke of the last night they spent with him, how they tenderly kissed him goodnight. And early the next morning, Mother came to check on him, and she saw that he had died. She saw something else that seemed extremely strange, and she shared it with the pastor. She says, "Pastor, he was still holding on to his left finger when he died. What in the world could that mean?" And the pastor could only explain to her through tear-filled eyes. Tim, if you would you put the picture now, the slide up on the screen as we close? How many of you know where that was? Raise your hands. If you know where that was, raise your hands. I was coming home late Monday, and that's when Matt called me. "Dad, have you heard? Have you heard the news yet of what happened? What happened?" And then he shared with me about Boston. You know, my brother-in-law is a Massachusetts boy, graduate of Boston University. His teacher was the late Dr. Harold Beck. Dr. Harold Beck had a student. His pupil was Harold Kushner, Rabbi Harold Kushner, most of us know him by. He wrote a book that has really left a mark on all of us, "When Bad Things Happen to Good People." Dr. Harold Beck assured me, he said, "You know that I kept witnessing to my student that yes, bad things happen to good people. But ultimately, I told him, God will have the final word, and that final word is yes. God holds the victory for us, and God has the power as the good shepherd. Death can no longer claim us. And when we are faced with those fears, and when we tread through the valley of the shadow of death, we know who to turn to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. At this time, the ushers will assist us as we serve and follow the Good Shepherd. Let's pray together. Glory to you, O God, for the great things you have done. For raising us to new life, we are forever grateful. And so, in gratitude and praise, we return these gifts to you, that they may be a blessing for others, the food of compassion to those who hunger for mercy, the water of justice to those who thirst for righteousness, the comfort of your love to those who are lost and alone. In trust and gratitude, we pray. Amen. And now that closing hymn, again, another rich, rich piece. 128, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever.